And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast. Ed, what episode is this?
Number 44, Mike.
Is it number episode? Thank you. Don't make me come over there. Yeah,
hey,
great.
Did
yeah.
you see a picture of the Dalmatian doggy with the spiders drawn on?
Oh, that poor dog. Oh,
poor
my
dog.
God.
He looks all sad. It scared you.
He does. No, it didn't scare me. I just felt bad for the dog. The dog's, like you said, play with the people, right? It's going to be fun, right? Oh, poor puppy. Right?
And dogs know when they have a nice haircut, too. This guy knows.
Hey, you know what?
Somebody drew spider legs on his spots.
Ed, I took a dog. I took one of my cats once to the vet, and she came back with an Elizabethan collar, and I started to laugh, and the vet starts yelling at me, "Do not laugh. You'll make the cat feel bad." I'm like, the cat's trying to kill me on a nightly basis. Well, I'm like worried about this, right? Hey, okay, Ed. Two things. Number one. Le-suspension.com is where you can find Ed Sorbo on the interweb. You can find me and my photos at motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. Ed, question number two. Are we going to get to talk to about engine braking this episode?
We're going to try to.
Remember that
we keep getting Hickory Farms from people?
Wait, we're not there yet. I have one more thing to say before we get to Hickory Farms, okay? Before this episode is over, Ed, you know what phrase you're going to hear from me? Butt clenching.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
That was awesome, by the way. Hey, Fred, this is a very good batch of secret sauce. Yeah, put a little rim on the edge of the salt on the rim of the glass. Ha ha. No, Ed, butt clenching. For those
That's
of you,
what we're going to hear. I'm just so looking forward to that.
Oh,
Michael.
Yes. And here's why. And if you are MotoGP fans and you've got the last race taped, go back and watch the moment where Andrea Iannone on the Ducati gets the rear wheel off the ground going into a corner. What happens fractions of a second later? Butt clenching.
Ah.
Ed, you have corrections. For those of you who can't hear it, Ed has found the theme music from Super Chicken.
And if I have it on my page, on my desktop all the time.
Awesome. And if you don't know who Super Chicken is,
shame on you.
I guess, that's how you was raised.
Yeah, well, you got to be a little older. So, Hickory Farms.
Right.
Right, so we get so much Hickory Farms now, they're like, we can't keep it all straight, right? So we get this package from a guy who sends us Hickory Farms, and he signs it to Limey, right?
Right.
So I say, well, thanks to Al Cunningham for the Hickory Farms, because he's a Limey, and he's in Isle of Man Racing, and yada, yada, yada. And then I get an email from Brian Adams, wrong Limey.
Wow.
So the Hickory Farms that Alan Cunningham of SaferMoto.com got credit for was actually Stealth, and it was really from Brian Adams, who's a Lindemann Engineering customer and just a regular all-around nice guy. So thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Does Brian have a website we need to pimp?
Nope, he's just a regular guy who has Lindemann Engineering suspension.
And he's clearly
he's a genius, and he thinks we're skinny, so we needed more food.
Clearly a man of class and taste. All right.
You know who Carl Byrne is?
No.
Carl Byrne is a listener to Deep Thinking. And you know what he says about Deep Thinking?
It's born.
Abso-fucking-lutely brilliant.
Abso-fucking-lutely brilliant.
Sorry. His quote is absolutely fucking brilliant.
We need to send him some Hickory Farms.
Yeah, don't get people started. We'll write that way.
His name
is... In that same vein, Brian Hertzfeldt.
Yeah, Brian, what up, yo?
He's totally addicted to Deep Thinking.
Why not? I'm addicted to it, too.
I'm addicted, yeah, right? If we are, everybody should
exactly.
be.
Exactly. And there's no harmful side effects. You know, although it is conceivable that you could be pulled over. And the officer says, how much deep thinking are you listening to? You know,
well,
officer...
We definitely won't cause cancer, but I don't know.
I've only listened...
Harmful side effects. The jury's got to still be out of that.
Officer, I only listen to two podcasts. Yeah, right. You're weaving all over the road. Get out of the car. Wait a minute. Ed,
do you know the difference between cement and concrete?
No.
So cement is the stuff that comes in the bag. It's the powdery substance that you mix with water and then some kind of aggregate like sand or gravel.
Okay.
And then it becomes concrete.
Okay.
So when you mix cement with water, there's a chemical reaction and it hardens the foreign concrete. Oh. And so you don't have a cement wall, you have a concrete wall.
Right.
That's just a technicality. I want to make sure we're clear on that.
Why?
Why did this even come? I called the walls at Grange that got knocked down by those idiot drifters. I called those cement walls. Those were concrete block walls.
God, do we really have to correct that? Okay.
Well, according to Tony, we do.
Oh, him again. Jeez, yes. Okay. Look, let's...
to be confused with Tony.
Let's be... right, because Tony... Tony Serra can do whatever he wants. Tony Serra is a god amongst men.
Exactly.
Let's get back to this Hickory Farms and Alan Cunningham thing. Ed, yes. Don't you think he owes us some Hickory Farms?
Oh, definitely.
We pimped his shit, man.
However, he is sending me the forks and shocks from his new bike. So I'll take that in lieu of Hickory Farms.
All right, whatever. Okay, good luck chewing on a spring. All right, Ed. Back to what we were started to talk about last time, and this is important. You
engine
have
braking.
Yes, counselor. Forget engine braking. Counselor, I want your argument on why Alex Rins should have been black flagged out of that Moto 2 race. You have 90 seconds for closing arguments.
It's the rules.
No, it's not in the rules.
It is in the rules.
It's not in the rules. What rule?
Okay, so the rule that applies here, and this is a common tripping point for people, right?
Right.
We all watch whatever we're watching, and we compare it to our life experiences.
Precisely.
And try to make it fit, right? And that's why people have a hard time understanding particle physics, right? Because particles do shit that full-size things never will do.
Okay.
So everybody's looking at this MotoGP professional race.
Right.
And they're comparing, well, what would they do if I was club racing? Except this is not a club race. And it's not like where you can say, well, I paid the same amount to be in this race, and I'm entitled to my six laps just like the other guy. These guys are, it's a job. They're making a living doing it, and they're representing sponsors, and they're trying to win a championship, and et cetera, et cetera. It's a whole nother level.
Okay.
So while you can go to your club race, and you can ride as slow as you want to, and the only penalty is you don't get the full number of laps because the checkered flag comes out when the leader completes the leader's number of laps. But at this level, if you're no longer competitive, if you don't have a shot for any points, you're not even on the lead lap, you need to get out of the way of the leaders. Just like they show a blue flag to the back marker who's getting lapped, you can't be a lap down and interfere with the battle that for the lead of the race. And doubly so if you're this guy Rims, is in the top five in the points. And so now he's a lap down, mixing it up with the guys who are racing for points, and he could theoretically choose who to help and who to hurt, whoever is better, you know, has more points or less points than him, whatever, however that might work to his advantage. You can't allow that situation to happen. So if on one hand you're going to ask backmarkers to get out of the way, you can't then allow backmarkers to get in the way and race with the leaders. And also, he caused the crash that put him a lap down.
Right.
So okay. It's multiple. It's bad karma, and it's just flat against the rules.
They don't write karma into the rules, Ed. Okay. Do you have any further arguments on this topic, counselor?
There's no argument. This is the rules. The race direction did the correct thing.
Oh.
He should not have been there in the first place.
I could not.
Now, if he wanted to be half a lap away from those guys and riding around and just trying new lines and whatever, that's fine. But you can't interfere with the guys who are battling for the win of the race when you're a lap down.
I will start my counterpoint by asking you this question, Mr. Sorbo. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Are you strapped in?
You can say what you want. There is no argument here, but go ahead.
Would they have black flagged Valentino Rossi for doing that?
They should have. If that didn't happen, Valentino Rossi has never come back and done that kind of thing. So I can't say what they would really do. And yes, we have pointed out that Rossi is in a unique situation
right,
where it's going to be hard for them to punish him. But the rule is the rule, and everybody needs to follow the rules the same way. And if you want proof that he knows he wasn't supposed to do that, when they gave him the black flag, which shows up on his dash, he immediately raised his hand and pulled over.
Well, yeah, because
He
he got
wasn't
black
trying to
flagged.
pretend like, oh, I'm special and I don't,
No,
you
he
know.
got black
He knew
flagged.
he was pushing the rules.
And you don't argue with the black flag, which, by the way, reminds me of something else I want to talk about. But I have a real problem, and this is my point. I have a real problem with race direction, black flagging a perfectly safe bike on a
Well, okay,
ride.
first of all, how do you know it's perfectly safe? He crashed and he continued. He was not re-teched.
Does it was the
You
bike
know,
leak?
if you go club
Did
racing and you crash, you don't get to pick up your bike and keep going. You have to go get re-teched.
Right, but we do it at the pro level. Was the bike leaking
Okay,
oil? It wasn't
so you
leaking.
can't say it's perfectly safe.
Sure, I
You don't
can.
know it.
I can't. It wasn't leaking oil. It wasn't leaking fluid. That's not why they black flagged him.
Well,
Okay?
okay, so you can make that argument, but it doesn't fly in this case because
I.
the bike was not re-teched. And the other bike that he knocked down, that
Right?
guy continued until his exhaust pipe started falling off on the racetrack.
Which was.
So the idea that racers are going to check their bike and do it properly, that's bullshit.
I'm.
Furthermore, I remember watching an AMA superbike race at Pomona, and the guy's name escapes me at the moment, but I watched him crash at the far end of the straightaway that I was watching. And he picked up the bike and he came zooming towards us, and he had to make a right turn where my grandstand was, and he crashed and slid under the chain link fence because he didn't have a fucking front brake, which
Donald
he
Jacks.
failed to notice when he was picking the bike up
Right.
and riding the thing for 300 or 400 yards until he got to the crash place.
It was
So
Donald. It was Donald
cancel
Jacks.
your argument that the bike is perfectly good. They black flagged him because he was breaking the rules.
There
End
was
of story.
no, he was not breaking a rule. They black flagged him because he was messing up the show. And that's the problem. That's the problem. It was
Okay, how is that not against the rules? Dude, it's
mess.
a professional race. It's on worldwide TV. It's all about the
And
show.
that's
That's
where,
why back markers
no,
have to get out of the
nope, nope.
way.
Hold on. I have the Star Spangled Banner queued up in the background here.
Has nothing to
It's
do with it.
nothing
You know, I
about
had this
it.
argument with a listener on Facebook, you know,
Has
and
nothing
same
to do
kind of
with,
thing.
it has, no, it has nothing to do with entertainment. It's a race. And if the bike is safe, which they didn't black flag it for not being safe, doesn't.
Absolutely, Michael, but it's a different kind of race than you or most of our listeners have ever been in, and the
I.
rules are not the same. It's an entertainment event. You can't mess with the show. If you have no chance to
Oh.
be in the points, okay, so you're out of the top 20, get off the track. They're
Dude.
not saying he can't ride, Michael.
Scott
They're
Red.
only saying he can't fuck with the leaders.
Scott Redding was out of the top 20. And he wound up on the podium. Like
Redding was out of the top 20, and he's out. What race are you talking
the
about?
race right after that in MotoGP. In the rain,
Yes,
remember?
but he was not a lap down.
Well, he may as well have been. All
Well,
right.
no, well, hang on.
What?
You're either a lap down or you're not a lap down. You can't,
He
right?
was
It's out of the top 20 is not the same as being a lap down. A lap
Oh.
down means you cannot get. It's not a 24-hour race. It's only with 24 laps.
Yeah,
You can't make a lap back.
how many
It
laps
was
were
not raining. There were no exterior circumstances. It was not a declared, what do they call it? A wet
What
event
race?
where
What
you could
race?
change bikes,
Which reminds
right?
me, I have another topic. I have another topic.
Okay,
We're gonna have
good.
to agree to disagree on this one. That, by the way, the black flag, the way that it came up, we were talking last time about shore to ship communications, and we were talking about how the helmet mounted earphones and microphones. Probably, the technology on that's not all that great. Okay, definitely, you've experienced it. It doesn't always work that well, right?
Right.
Okay, but something from the car world, a lot of these cars have a map of the track on the steering wheel. Why can't you have something like that on the dash of a MotoGP bike and allow the team to put, to put data on that map? That way nobody goes barreling into turn 11 wherever it is, not knowing whether it's raining or not.
Well, first of all, I don't look at my dash while I'm racing, except to glance at the tack occasionally on straightaways
Right.
to maximize my shifting points. And, I've never been on a track where I didn't know it was raining where I was.
Well,
So why do I need a light flashing to tell me that somebody thinks it might be raining?
just like
I
this.
mean, I traveled all the way to Japan, to Suzuka, and rode on that track, having never been there in my life. and it actually was pouring down rain on one end of the track, and the track is really long and stretched out.
Right.
And the other end was completely dry and bright sunshine.
Right.
And amazingly, neither I nor anybody else fell down in the wet part of the track. And then we went full speed in the dry part and slowed down in the wet part. And I mean, I was driving around, and all of a sudden I'm coming into a corner, and it's pouring down rain. There was no warning. There was no other than the water. And yet, on slicks, I still didn't crash. So, you know, this sounds to me like another problem that we don't need to fix, a question that should not be answered. Do we have a problem? Are we piling bikes up when the rain track starts raining on a regular basis that we need to prevent this horrible thing from happening?
I would say that when we go from dry to wet, we catch at least a couple of guys out every time, you know?
Yeah, name it. Where? When? What are you talking about? What group? Are we talking about MotoGP? Are we talking about your local club?
No, let's talk about MotoGP. Look what just happened last time, okay? How many dudes wound up on the ground? You know,
one.
No, more than one. I can think of two off the top of my head, Redding and Lorenzo.
Lorenzo crashed when the track was drying, not when the track was getting wet.
Right.
Redding crashed when the track was getting wet while he was still on slicks.
Yes.
So that's one.
And
you know, there were these things in the sky, clouds, before there was water. They all knew it was getting ready to rain.
And they also all complained that the track surface was brand new, so you couldn't tell by looking at it whether it was wet or dry.
They said it was dark, and they couldn't tell how wet it was.
Yeah.
So how is a blinking rain light on my dash going to help me tell how wet it is?
I would leave that to you and your crew.
You know, I was working for DMG when they were running their...
Are you sure you want to admit
AMA
that,
Ed? Stuff. And these guys came to us, and they wanted us to do this heads-up display. They'd have this little display thing that would go on the rider's helmet, and it would flash different color lights in their field of vision, you know, so that because they could warn about whatever's going on.
Uh-huh.
And what was really going on, and we tested it, and what was really going on was these guys came up with this thing they wanted to sell, and so they came up with a need for it. They made something up because we've been racing with flags forever,
right?
And it works pretty well.
Yes, it absolutely does. But even at the MotoGP level, what do you get? You don't get a "Hey, this it's wet in this corner" flag. You get a "It's wet somewhere on the track. Good luck figuring it out, pal" flag. You know,
dude, it's a fucking racetrack. Wherever you are worried about it, you were there a minute ago. It's not that difficult. There's dark clouds in the sky over here. Might be raining. There's bright sunshine over there. Probably not raining. Come on. Let's talk about engine braking already.
Oh, geez. Wait, we have to get through the trophy thing first.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Right? Okay, so, hey, how are we doing on time, Paul?
I forgot to start my stopwatch.
Oh,
and by the way, folks, if anybody's wondering, I'm going to be doing the counterpoint on this trophy thing.
Okay.
Go, Michael.
Hold on. I got to get my reading glasses out of the drawer.
You got the timer on the recording device.
Oh, I do.
Hey, folks, if anybody can tell us some technology that we can use that'll make the making podcast over the phone work better, let us know. Right now we're using, Michael's on a real landline, old school speakerphone.
Right.
I'm on my cell phone, and it's better than what we did before, but we're not always able to get together, and if there's some Skype thing or whatever that you know about that'll work better for us, send me an email, ed@le-suspension.com, and let us know, please. Thanks.
This phone actually has a wire attaching it to the wall. How old school is that?
Ain't that neat?
And you know what has not happened in this whole conversation, Ed? The call has not dropped. Not once.
Yeah, no. I'm down with landlines.
You know?
I know people who remember when phones came to their world for the first time.
Dude,
I knew people. They've all since passed away.
Right?
So, trophies.
Hey, I remember movies where the phone used to be the murder instrument.
Right.
You could beat somebody to death with one. Now, it would take you forever to beat somebody to death with an iPhone. And the funny thing is, the more they use an iPhone, the more you want to beat them to death. Okay, so, I interviewed, for one of my other hats that I wear, I interviewed a guy's former Olympic gold medalist in the pole vault. His name is Bob Segrin. Brief aside, if I ever won an Olympic gold medal, I would never take it off. Never take it off. It'd be like, ugh, here comes Gugis with this damn gold medal
It
again.
goes without saying, man.
So, he runs a company called Run Racing, and they put on big events like the Long Beach Marathon. Talking to Bob, what makes your event so successful in an incredibly competitive field? You know, there are 800 marathons in the United States every year.
I did
Wow.
not know that, but that's a useful piece of information that
That's
I will file away and find an opportunity to use at some future date. Thank you.
exactly. Actually, you'll probably tell me 6 months from now, hey, Gugis, did you know there were
Right, that's what I'm thinking
800?
of.
So I asked him, so what makes it, he's like, we do three things: high quality t-shirts, memorable finisher medals, and a kick-ass after party, you know? And he
Hey, let me
understands.
pause you for a moment there, right?
Yeah.
They do three extra things because before you can do those three things,
Got
you
it.
first got to have your shit together. You got to run the day, have the date, run the event, have enough porta potties, all of that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so this is the same kind of thing when somebody interviews a world-class motorcycle rider and says, "What's the secret to going fast?" And he tells you, "Oh, you got to drag your elbow." Well,
Right?
yeah, if you do everything else perfect. Go
Right.
on.
Right. Okay. I'll just point out that it's important for, because the three guys that are gonna and the three women that are gonna win their races, they don't care about the medals that much, okay? They're there to qualify for financial support to get to the Olympics. That's fine. They're the professionals. For the other 18,497 participants, they're there to get a really cool t-shirt and a medal. And if you don't provide those, they don't show up. It's
They're
a
not there because it's good for their health, because it's a challenge that they enjoy accomplishing something,
All of
because
that,
those reasons don't count. They're only there for the t-shirt.
no, all of that's good, but it's the emotional payoff of having somebody hand you that medal and say, good job. That's how human beings work. We work for those emotional payoffs. And he understood that from his audience. I mean, if you just wanted the exercise, you could just go run 26 miles anywhere. You know, go.
Okay, so now how are you going to connect this to trophies and motorcycle races?
Club races? Absolutely. It's one of the things. Watch what happens. Watch what happens when you forget or you don't order them or the order comes in wrong. And trust me, I've been on the providing end of trophies twice when we've run into that problem. And boy, they won't. And here's the thing that really hurt. And I remember, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but he's a well-known, very accomplished club level guy here in Southern California. Told me, hey, you know what, dude? You guys are just starting out. It was back at CVMA. You're just starting out. We understand it's, challenging and everything. But I heard the way the dude talked about us behind our back. That hurt. And because it's the emotional payoff that got missed. That got missed. So you had a counterpoint about this.
So there's two parts to it. So the first part is the trophies are the cherry on top of the sundae, right?
Absolutely.
But what
Absolutely.
makes a sundae is not the cherry, it's all the other stuff. And if you don't do all the other stuff correctly, and I'll give you a specific example. According to a Facebook post that I read this weekend, the guys at the Chuckwalla Club had their time and scoring system crash again
Oh,
this weekend.
Jesus.
And the bikes were not on the track for some period of time. I don't know how long. Now, you can have the greatest trophies in the world, and you can have
Absolutely.
trophies for every single person. But if you can't run your event, if you don't have the ambulances there, if you don't have enough corner workers, if you
No.
don't enforce your own rules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then the trophies are unimportant.
No argument
So,
from me. No
yeah,
argument from me.
and I get it. There's plenty of people who want to get their trophies. And my answer to that is to devise a system whereby you produce those trophies for those people that want it. And
Okay.
so my answer was, you have a fancy printer and some
Oh,
fancy paper, and
yep.
you print up a certificate. The thing that makes it cool is that you print onto that certificate a current picture of the person racing that motorcycle. So
Yep.
you make a deal with your track photographer that you have at your event, and he supplies a picture that you can then use, right? So then you've
Perfect.
got this trophy that's got a picture of you on the bike for the event that you got the trophy in. And you know what? If you want to print one out for 27th place, fucking good on you, right? It's
Yeah,
not going to hurt anybody.
and
But
that.
when your obsession about trophies means that you didn't hold the writers' meeting at the time that you had scheduled,
no.
and that you didn't cover the important things like how to get on and off the track, then we have a problem.
Then
my second part to this is, it's fine. You want your trophies. It doesn't hurt me. But please understand that I'm racing for those reasons I talked about for your running event. I'm racing for the challenge. I'm racing to accomplish something. I'm racing for the way it makes me feel. I don't want a trophy, and I sure as hell don't want some plastic piece of shit of a little man holding up a wreath.
Okay, and you're absolutely entitled to that opinion. You and Bruce Lind, okay?
Yep.
Bruce Lind, it was so funny, when I was interviewing him, he told me that he burned his old trophies, you know, in the fireplace, you know, and I just about had a heart attack because I've been, like I said, I've been on the other end of not having the trophy. And that's, you know what? That's perfectly legit. But you know what you and Bruce had? You had the opportunity to get rid of them yourself after somebody gave them to you.
Well, and I can't remember it, but I'm pretty willing to bet that I was pretty excited about my first trophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And now understand that year-end trophies, those are different. Championship trophies, you worked hard for a whole year to get that thing. That's something that I try to keep. But the individual ones for the individual races, to me, it's more of a hassle to go over there and pick the damn things up. And I would prefer that there were a way that the club could keep that money.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, if you could have a way like my suggestion where you print out the trophy when the person comes to collect it, or that if somebody's making some, the current trend right now is to make trophies out of motorcycle junk, right? Okay, all well and fine, but if there's a way that the club can keep it and use it for somebody else because I'm not going to come collect it, I'm
right.
down with that.
Yeah.
I don't want the club to waste money and then, you know, throw the thing away.
I tell you, I'll be honest with you, what I liked doing was ordering trophies, ordering plaques for all the classes. Whoever wanted a trophy at the end of the day, we'd stick a plaque on the appropriate size trophy. The end of the event, take an inventory, fill in the gaps on trophies and plaques, which was a fraction of the cost of a full trophy inventory order, you know, and move on. The people who wanted them had them.
Let me say my takeaway from this is,
okay,
you want a trophy, that's all well, fine, and good, okay? But don't think that just because you've got a trophy that your club has your shit together.
Oh, absolutely
There's
not.
There's a bunch more stuff that's way more important than that. Look around, pay attention, walk through the pits and see how many bikes actually have safety wire on their coolant drains, and they already have a tech sticker on their bike.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And go watch Tech Inspection and see, you know, who's doing tech. Are these volunteer guys that just signed up today who never even read the rule book, like you have never read the rule book? Or are
what
these
are you
guys
talking about?
Catching the bikes that are, you know, the most egregious and making people fix them up?
When you say you, are you referring to me?
No, the listener.
Okay, I was going to say.
I'm speaking to the listeners.
You best watch it, son.
Right? Because my number one thing is always, is there a problem? I want to look in the mirror first and see about the solution to that problem.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm not going to do the Donald Trump thing and just blame it on the Mexicans, right? and so when I say, when I'm speaking like this, I'm speaking to me, I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to all of our listeners. We are the problem and the solution. So can we talk about engine braking now? How much time we got left?
That was touching, Ed.
That was actually
beautiful.
That
was beautiful. That was well said. We are the problem and we are the solution.
Well, right. I mean, in our simple thing, right, just racing motorcycles,
right,
that's really simple compared to world problems. Like, right, if you want to be a real hero, go find a solution to the problems in Syria, right?
Oh, crap, dude.
What we're doing is worried about our fucking gearing, right?
Right.
Why?
Okay.
So all of the problems that we had are small problems that we made.
Right.
We can fix them.
Okay, we're at 29 minutes. So guess what? We're not going to be able to talk about engine braking again, but we did hear...
You don't need any engine braking anyway. Brakes are for slowing and the engine's for going.
We did get to hear me use the word clenching. Ed, I have a two-minute board. I have a two-minute board, which is actually really kind of cool if you ask me. And it is, Jonathan Ray sealed the World Superbike title this last weekend. Horrible...
How many rounds are left?
Like two full rounds.
Two still, okay.
Dude,
so
it was...
that's four races.
It was,
good job.
Yeah, he actually sealed it with five to go. Kawasaki's the only people who are not involved in some other form in MotoGP. Kawasaki is focused on building the best ZX10 that they can, and there's a lot to be said for focus, dude. It was an ass kicking, and it was inevitable. I think he had to, regardless of what anybody else did, in the last six races, he had to put together a 10th place finish in order to win.
Hi, yeah, Ava. It always looks easy after you've done all the hard work.
Yeah, exactly, right? My niece Ava just walked in. So, he crosses the finish line, stops in turn two, puts on a helmet. Jonathan Rae's from Northern Ireland, puts on a helmet of Northern Ireland, a replica of Northern Ireland's first world champion, a guy named Brian Reid, who twice won the Formula TT Formula 2 World Championship on a privateer Yamaha 350. Stopped further along the track, pulled off that helmet, pulled on a replica for Joey Dunlop, 5 times Formula TT Formula 1 champion, in addition to setting records at the Isle of Man that'll probably never be matched. And I just thought, you know what? Of all the victory celebrations, all the stupid crap you've seen throughout the years, I thought that one was pretty classy, and I really liked that. And with that, anything else you wanted to add, Mr. Sorbo?
Yeah, I want to encourage American racers, North American racers, to start creating cool, smart, not too long and not too involved celebrations like that. I think it's really cool. Obviously, you don't get to do that kind of stuff for your club race victory in a Q Superbike, you know?
Right.
But I mean, totally, the guys who are winning national races could do something like that. The best one that I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Uh-huh.
Chris Pyles won on his TC250 at a club race at Summit, and his girlfriend always watched from the same place with a group of friends and whatnot. And so he stopped there on the cool down lap, jumped over the fence. A friend of his surreptitiously handed him the engagement ring, and he proposed to his soon-to-be wife on the cool-down lap. Now, there's a celebration
for
you.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And I'll wrap it up with one more that I thought was really cool. And it was Carlos Checa. And his logo incorporated an image of a bull, okay?
Yep.
The last time he won the world championship, he stopped at one of the corner on the cool-down lap, right? And the corner workers come over and mob him. And then some dude out of nowhere shows up wearing a bull outfit, like a mascot outfit. He's jumping up and down. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. He's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis.
Aloha.
Aloha.